Well, praise the Lord. Did you enjoy yourself during praise and worship? I know the angels in heaven enjoyed you. Amen. How many of you just like to see into the spirit realm and see what the angels do when we're praising the Lord? Amen. Well, the enemy's on a rampage. He's fighting every one of God's children as hard as he can fight. And I hope that you're holding in there. That's why I like that song, You're an Overcomer. You know, she says everything there is to be said. So I want you to hold in there and hold on, because God is in full and total control. Well, Father, I thank you and I praise you for all that you're doing here this morning. I thank you for your true children who have come out to worship you in truth and in holiness. I also thank you, Father God, that you are truth and your word is truth. And Father, those who have come in to really receive from you, let them receive in abundance, Father. Let their lives be totally and completely changed. And Father God, we lift you up higher than we ever have before. We know that you rule and reign in our midst, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have been having dreams and visions here lately? Awesome, isn't it? I had a dream that I was with Jesus. And you know, and I, you know, saw him, you know, he's up in heaven. And I was just worshiping him. And I literally woke up saying, Jesus, I love you so much. You know, and I was talking to Jesus, and Larry said, what was you dreaming? He said, you talked right out loud. But you know, it was so real. It's just like I was right there in heaven talking to my Father. And how many of you find yourself crying all the time? You know, God is doing an awesome thing, isn't he? You know, he's just moving so in such awesomeness. And just doing something, all of a sudden, compassion runs over you, and you just start crying, yeah, in love, and you just start weeping. You know, God is in full and total and complete control, no matter what the enemy's doing. This morning, I want to teach on the rod of authority. If there's any visitors in here, we welcome you this morning. And remember, it's Pentecost. And it's Jubilee, and it's revival. So we have everything we need, and the glory of God is here, so we have everything we need to be an overcomer, right? I'm going to teach on rod of authority because God, a couple of weeks ago, God was upset with some of the men here in the church. He said, I'm coming after them with my rod of authority. So I thought, I wonder what the rod of authority is. So it's pretty interesting, so I thought we'd teach on it so you know that you have a rod. How many of you, God is saying, I'm extending my rod to you or my scepter to you? You know, that's yours to use. It has power and authority in it. Amen. So Psalm 23:4 says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. A rod is used in the Bible to symbolize power and authority. It can also be used to symbolize destructive power, such as the rod of Aaron, the rod of discipline, and especially the rod of assistance and comfort. Now see, he's upset with it. He didn't say, I'm coming with the rod of discipline. He said, I'm coming with my rod of authority, all right? The rod is a symbol of authority. We all want to experience success and satisfaction in life, do we not? True success is more than monetary gain. Success is understanding and fulfilling your purpose in life. Success is understanding and fulfilling your purpose in life. Within every person's purpose, there is a series of assignments. Within every person's purpose, there is a series of assignments. When God gives an individual an assignment, he also empowers you with the necessary means to fulfill it. All right? This is your rod of authority. When a person identifies his rod of authority, he will discover the strengths that will take him from a place of frustration to a place of fulfillment. Now, we're going to learn what these rods of authority are, so just be patient. Exodus 4:2 says, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? He said, a rod. Moses had just had a divine encounter with God by which God reveals his purpose for the Hebrews. God said that he had heard the cry of the people and seen their frustration and that he was going to deliver them. Moses is now the person that God has chosen to be the leader of this great deliverance. God then commands Moses to go to the people and tell them what God had just spoken. All right. God said that he had heard the cry of the people and seen their frustration. That goes for all of us in here. And that he was going to deliver them. And he's promised us that this is a year that he's going to give us, fulfill all of our promises, right? Moses is now the person that God has chosen to be the leader of this great deliverance. Each one, I've been telling you, each one of you in here is a leader. And there's a purpose. God has a special purpose for you. Moses was the leader of this, of delivering his people. God then commands Moses to go to the people and tell them what God had just spoken. Moses' response is that he did not feel that they would believe him. We've all been there, right? God's told us to do something. We say, well, I don't know if I want, they won't, they're not going to believe a word I have to say. So God now answers and says to Moses, what is in your hand? By which Moses responds, a rod. And he tells Moses to cast it on the ground. And as he does, the rod became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. The Lord then tells him to pick it up by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and it became a rod. Here we see Moses in a place of uncertainty, displaying lack of confidence to fulfill the assignment. How many of us sitting here this morning, we've been in that place or might be in that place right now? God often comes to us, and when he does, he approaches us to be a solution to a problem that someone else or a generation of people has. You're supposed to be a solution to the problem, not part of the problem. Amen. However, we often lack confidence, assurance, and we feel inadequate to fulfill the assignment. Are you listening here? I don't want anybody in here to feel inadequate to fulfill any assignment that God has given you. Because God knows what you can do and what you cannot do because he wonderfully made you, right? He knows whether or not you can carry an assignment. If you couldn't carry the assignment, he wouldn't give it to you. In this text, God was personally showing Moses before he went to the people, before he went to Pharaoh, before he ever encountered any of the obstacles that he would encounter during the process of bringing deliverance to the Hebrews, that his/God's presence is with him. Now let's read that again. In this text, God was personally showing you all, before you go to the people, before you go to Pharaoh, before you ever encounter any of the obstacles that you would encounter during the process of bringing deliverance to the Hebrews, that his/God's presence is with you. The rod then became a sign of God's manifest authority for Moses. All right? I want you to see, some of you in here don't know that God is with you. You don't understand that God already had you. All right, I was reading something the other day, and this man said that in heaven, there is a book for each one of us that has our whole complete destiny written out. And if we die before our time, then we never complete our destiny. So what I'm saying that to say this. If God sends you to do something, he will equip you. He will go with you because that is part of your destiny, and he wants you to carry out all of your destiny. And as I read that, and then I was laying in bed last night meditating on somebody that I know that passed away. And I remember God gave her and her husband great, great promises of all the wonderful things they were going to do together. But she got sick and she died. And God said what happened was she never fulfilled her destiny. She was not supposed to die at that young age. But because of circumstances in her life, God took her to heaven to show her something. And when she got there, she decided she didn't want to be here no more. So she aborted her own destiny. Are you listening? Because that's always plagued me, you know, that God had told them so many wonderful things they were going to do together and how her testimony was going to be so powerful. See, God didn't want her to die. He wanted her to live and then carry her testimony to the world. Are you listening here? All right, the rod was a stick. You know, Moses' rod was a stick. It was a branch that he had used for years while tending the sheep on the backside of the desert for support while walking and also fighting off predators to the sheep. This was just an ordinary old stick that you, Gabriel was always picking up sticks and walking around with them. So this wasn't anything unique or different. It was just a plain, ordinary stick. And if you ever look at pictures of the Old Testament, everybody had a rod. You know, in Germany, if you go over there, they have walking sticks because everybody walks. Amen? And this is what that was. This rod was used in his daily life. But what Moses didn't recognize is that God would use a skill, a strength, a talent that he had acquired and utilize it for a supernatural assignment. Now, this is for y'all. Listen to what you're reading because you need to know this so you can go ahead and carry out your assignment. This rod, Moses' rod, was used in his daily life, but what Moses didn't recognize is that God would use a skill, a strength, a talent that he had acquired and utilize it for a supernatural assignment. Exodus 4:17, God says, "You shall take this rod in thine hand, wherewith you shall do signs." And I think of all the people God has said, "I'm extending my scepter to you. Now take it and go." And so he wants to use that rod that he gave you, the spiritual rod he gave you, to go forth and do great signs, wonders, and miracles. The scripture goes on to say how the Lord commissioned Moses along with Aaron to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. Although he released miracles, signs, and wonders, Pharaoh resisted the word from the Lord, "Let my people go," until the Lord sent 10 plagues on Egypt. Even though there were signs, wonders, and miracles, Pharaoh still refused to let God's people go. The Lord used Moses. So what I'm saying there is, God might send you to somebody to tell them a truth or minister to them, but their heart is so hardened that they're not going to pay attention to you. There's nothing you can do about it. Amen. I give away Brett's teaching for Wednesday night. You got to be here Wednesday night. He has a good teaching going. All right. The Lord used Moses with a rod to part the Red Sea for the children of Israel to escape as Pharaoh and his army drowned. Wouldn't that be awesome if you just had an old stick in your hand and you know, the enemy was behind you, the Red Sea was in front of you, and God just says, "Raise up the stick," and it parted the waters. See that? All right. That's just like our rock. Ordinary rock. Stand on a rock and miracles happen, right? In the book of 1 Samuel, the Lord used a rock and a slingshot in the hands of David to slay Goliath. He also used David's mighty men to kill the thousands with spears. One man named Shamgar slayed 600,000 with an ox goad. Throughout the Bible, we see how God used ordinary people. I want to see is just ordinary things that God uses. This is what I'm getting at. Throughout the Bible, we see how God used ordinary people in extraordinary ways with objects such as sticks and stones. The Lord has placed something in each one of our hands. And the Holy Spirit is saying to you today, what is in your hand? We're going to talk about that in a minute. And then God spoke and said, "I will use that which I have placed in your hand. Do not say that I am the least of these or I am unable to speak. I will establish you and speak through you. Do not worry beforehand." See, and too many people do that. They worry beforehand what's going to happen or premeditate what you will say. You shouldn't do that. You should go with it. Don't get anything together. You know, just what, you know how people sit and say, "Well, I'm going to go and I'm going to say blah, 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 blah." You shouldn't do that. You should just go and say, "Father, I'm going with the Holy Spirit to speak through me." Come on. It's just like when I go out on the road to evangelize, I always put together a sermon just in case. But I never use it. And I know I'm not going to use it, but I have to have my little safety net there, you know. And because God always speaks through me because, you know, and does what he wants to do. All right, "I will establish you and speak through you. Do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will say, but say whatever is given to you at that time." You hear that? "For it is not you who will speak, but the Holy Spirit. Your words will be spoken from a place of my authority. I will place my anointing upon you in the courts of Pharaoh." You will understand your potential as you walk in my anointing. Now, this is a prophetic word from God. You will understand your potential as you walk in my anointing, demonstrate my power, and release my glory. I have placed my rod of authority in your hand and my sword of the Spirit in your mouth. You will use my rod of authority to part the sea that is obstructing others from coming into the kingdom and destroy the armies that are coming against you. You will see the plans of the enemy thwarted and his army obliterated in this season. I will use you to deliver my people out of Egypt and set many free from demonic bondage. There will be a mass exodus of people coming out of spiritual Egypt, released from the kingdom of darkness and delivered into the kingdom of light. When it seems like the enemy is gaining on you, you will outwit him as you raise your rod of authority and watch the seas part. We're going to talk about these rods of authority in a minute. The plans of the enemy will be ineffective against your life. You are about to cross over into a new dimension, and you will surely see my goodness in the land of the living, says the Lord. Now, Acts 19, verse 11 says, Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. It was a handkerchief, all right? We see in the New Testament how the Lord brought unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. He'll use your hands. He used napkins and aprons that were touched by Paul to heal the sick and even drive out demons. He used Peter's shadow to heal the people. See what your rod of authority is? Your hands, your shadow, your clean hanky you might be wearing. These are your rods of authority. All right, so then this is God speaking again. You will experience my power and demonstration once again. I will use your hands to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. I will also testify to my word through signs, wonders, miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to my will. You shall decree a thing, and it shall be established. You know, when you start decreeing things now, they're going to happen. Because I have commissioned you to do and release my light into dark places, and I will give you the discernment to recognize the counterfeit from the genuine. Many will walk in an anointing that will stagger the minds of unbelievers and bring many into the kingdom in the days ahead, says the Lord. And this is where we're at. God has been preparing us for this great invasion of lost souls that's coming into the house of God. And I hope you're not sitting at home, what am I going to do when this happens? All you need to be doing is walking in the Spirit, walking close with God, and when you encounter somebody that's not saved, the Holy Spirit will work through you and say whatever he needs to say. All right? As I was typing this the other day, I thought about one time when I was first born again and was going to this church. I was a deacon, and my job was, if I saw something wrong, to go and take care of it. Well, I noticed this one lady, she was laying around with the men in the church. So I called her and asked her if I could come visit her, and she said yes. I went in there and sat down and started talking to her. I went there 2 seconds, and she started throwing up. And see, I wasn't familiar with deliverance at that point. She started something with this green slime, and she said, I got to go to the bathroom. And so here she went back to her in the other side of her trailer. Next thing I know, here's the pastor knocking at the door. But what I'm getting at is the anointing was my rod of authority. The anointing was my rod of authority, and just being in the presence of that demon made that demon come out. All right, this is what I'm getting at. So if you have the anointing that destroys the yoke within you, just your presence will cause that demon to come out of somebody. And we won't be having to say, come out, come out, come out for 6 hours or so. This is God is trying to get us to the place where we will have so much power and authority in us that just walking in front of a demon will cause them to manifest. All right? And God's trying to get us to the point where just walking, if you just encounter somebody, you'll find yourself getting instantly angry. And what it is that person has a demon in them, and it's not them you're getting angry at, but it's the demon inside of them that's mocking you. I want you to understand this, because this is where we're at in the house of God today. We're in a place where we have to be walking so close to God, and the anointing has to be so strong that no matter where you go, you will know when there's darkness. I think God even told us that during that prophetic word, did he not? Come on. We are not going to be deceived any longer. We're going to know what is dark, and we're going to know what is light. All right, Habakkuk 1:5 says, look at the other nations, watch them, and you will be amazed. I will do something in your lifetime that will amaze you. You would not believe it even if you were told about it. Then Acts 5:14 says, more and more people believed in the Lord, and many men and women were added to the group of believers. So the people brought those who were sick into the streets and put them on little beds and mats. They were hoping that Peter's shadow might fall on them as he walked by. People came from all the towns around Jerusalem. They brought those who were sick or troubled by evil spirits. All of them were healed. Each one of us in here this morning have to carry that anointing. That's the only way God's going to be able to use us, because the demonic world is real and very much alive. I would say half of the body of Christ has demonic beings manifesting all the time. And because we don't walk close in the spirit, because we don't have proper discernment, we don't even see there's anything wrong with them. All right? If we have certain talents, abilities, if we have material possessions, if we have a knowledge of the truth, let us remember that all of these things have been sanctified with the rod of God's authority through the Holy Spirit, and we must use all he has given us to his praise and honor in faithful service to him. I didn't know Sister Lane could blow the shofar. She has a talent there. I thought God would show you. You know, God doesn't show me all kind of things like that. He really does. He only shows me the important things, you know, things I really need to see. So, you know, I would just assume if you had a talent, come up and say, hey, I can play the piano. Or, hey, I can play the drums. Or, hey, I can play the guitar. Amen. See, I pray God send these people in. But, you know, if they come in and they can do that, doesn't say to me, that one over there can play the guitar. He has told me that. In prophetic word, I'll say, you can play the drums. No, I can't. Find out, yeah, they were a really good drum player. They just didn't want me to know it. Say, you know. So I just don't ask God things like that. I have more important things to do in the body of Christ. If you have a talent, come and tell me, and we'll work with it. All right? That's your job, is to work with the talent God has given you. We feel inadequate at times and so unworthy of this honor, just as Moses did. We know that in our own selves we come far short. The words of the Lord to Moses in Exodus 4:11-12 should bring comfort to us. So the Lord said to Moses, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Come on. Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. You didn't make your own mouth. Come on, God did. And if you said, God use me, well then he wants to use the mouth he made. You're listening here. See, we allow the enemy to just take us down to any side road that he wants feels like taking us down. We don't take the authority over the enemy like we ought. And I don't know about you, but I've been praying a lot for 3 days in a row, day and night, because there's a whole lot of things that I've realized I've let the enemy do, gave him power and authority to do, and now I'm taking back what's rightfully mine. I'm taking back my pea field. I love that story in the Word. Amen. So how many of you in here today, you know that you've given the devil legal right to do what he's doing to you? You're the one to open the doors and allowed him to come in and do the things to you he's done. God told me, you've taken on responsibilities I never wanted you to take on. And that's why you're going through all the mess you're going through. You know, so I'm stopping that. I'm cutting that off. What God doesn't tell me to do, I'm not going to do. All right? And each one of you need to do the very same thing. You don't have to be there for everybody. You just have to be there for the ones God places in your life to be there for. You don't have to please everybody. You just have to please the Father. Are you listening? And we're trying to be people pleasers, and that is not pleasing to God, and it's ruining your ministry. You have to know what God has called you for to do. Then you have to go ahead and listen to the Father's voice and do what the Father is telling you to do. All right, Exodus 4, 16 and 17. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. Now in these verses we see Moses representing God, and Aaron the Lord Jesus, which is the Word. See, so God said, okay, so you don't want to speak, I'm going to send Aaron, your brother, with you, and he'll do the speaking, but you'll use the rod and you'll do the miracles. All right? You know, don't be like Moses. You just go ahead, you know, and you just go ahead and go forth and do the things God's called you forth to do. You don't need a sidekick. You just need Jesus with you, amen? Sometimes a sidekick can get you in a whole lot of trouble. Come on. You find out you spend more time trying to get them right than you do doing what God wants you to do. All right. We too, as the footstep followers of Jesus, have been charged with the responsibility of speaking the words of the Father as faithful ambassadors of the heavenly kingdom. Your job is, if God told you to tell somebody something, your job is to go and tell them to do it. But make sure that God is telling you to do it. Too many people say, God said, and no, he didn't either. And if you're walking in the Spirit, you know, if somebody comes to me and says, God said, God will be saying, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. See, so if you're walking in the Spirit the way you ought, God's going to warn you when somebody comes to you and says, God said, and he didn't really say. I'm sorry, but there are a lot of gullible people out there that will believe anything that anybody tells them, and you need to get out of that state. You need to be walking in the Spirit and be hearing God tell you, now, I didn't say that, I didn't do that, all right? It's not that people want to do that. There's something in them that's not secure, and so they say, God told me. Well, there's been times in my life I want to say to my kids, God told me. But I wouldn't do that for nothing, because they would never believe another thing I said. Amen? Come on. Even though I know they're supposed to be doing it, I would never, ever, ever say, God told me. All right, when you discover your unique strengths that God has placed in you, that will become a source of empowerment that will unlock the door. So when you discover your unique strengths that God has placed in you, that will become a source of empowerment that will unlock the door of destiny in your life. All right. I was thinking about Sister Nancy. God told me last night, she's going to start many businesses. See, that's her strengths, to start businesses, to write her books. That's her strength, and you watch and see what those will do for her. Now, that will become a source of empowerment that will unlock the door of destiny in your life. Take inventory of your strengths. What comes natural to you? What are you good at? What do you enjoy doing that seems effortless? What do others compliment you on that you may take for granted? When you discover that, you will discover your unique rod of authority. Are you listening here? I can puff on cigarettes. That's not a rod of authority. Come on. Come on. I can wash clothes really good. Well, that might be a rod of authority. God might use you to wash somebody else's clothes. But, you know, you have to think about the unique things that God has placed within you to do. You could be a really good speaker. And so God will use that for you to speak. Are you saying, you hear what I'm saying? Now, with me, when I first started ministry, I just about flunked oral communications in college, okay? Because I got so nervous up there, I couldn't even hardly talk, and I was always rattling something in my pocket. These are all things you're not supposed to do. They teach you that, you know? And when God said, I'm going to start a church, I said, you've got to be kidding. Because all I ever wanted to do was sit in the background and not say, I said, I can't do this. He said, you're not going to. I am. Are you listening? Come on. Too many of us think we have something we don't have. And we use it, and it's not gone. Are you listening? Everything you do should be God in it. Everything. Many times God will use your pain and your unique rod of authority as your unique rod of authority. Many times God will use your pain as your unique rod of authority. You can be going through hell itself and have so much pain in your heart. But yet, through it all, you know, even when you're going through all that, God gives you strength to go forth and to minister the word. This is what I'm saying. That your strength to go forth, even in your own misery, is your rod of authority. All right? God's mighty hand today. The mighty hand of God that we see exercised in the earth today brings great rejoicing to his true people, realizing that it foreshadows our deliverance from Egypt, the world. In other words, when we see God's mighty hand moving all across the land, with doing all the things he's doing, we are rejoicing because we know that it's taken us into heavenly places with him, that we're God's children, and he's not going to leave us nor forsake us. We see that the same signs are being manifested to the pharaohs of our day, the kings, presidents, and dictators, the world leaders of present times. You see what God's doing to the government? Their reaction, though, is that of disbelief. Their hearts are hardened, and they refuse to believe that the Lord's hand is being manifested in the affairs of men. They can't even see that it's God moving, and it's unreal. But what's real unreal about it is that the church is involved in that too. They don't even see God's hand in what's going on. This thought applies to all of Satan's house, including the ecclesiastical rulers of Christendom. In other words, Christian leaders, high Christian leaders, are involved in that. Exodus 6:8. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, go in, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, the children of Israel have not heeded me. How then shall Pharaoh heed me, for I am of uncircumcised lips? He said, your people won't even listen to me, so why is the king going to listen to me? Right? I like verse 8, though. It says, and I will bring you into the land, God's speaking to Moses, and I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage, because I am the Lord. See, God has given you a lot of promises. He is the Lord. He wants you to have those promises. And God told me the other day, he said, so many of his people, his people are aborting the promises that he wants to give them because they're believing the lies of the enemy instead of believing what thus saith the Lord. Don't you be one of those. Don't let the enemy take you down a side road any longer. This reminds me of the statement of Jesus when he said in Matthew 24:24, there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, God told me years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, the false prophets are on the scene. And, you know, I've never in my life read so many false prophetic words that I've read in the last couple of years. You really, when you're reading prophetic words, you really have to have discernment to know if it's of God or not. Just because it's a famous prophet doesn't mean the word is true. You should be, just by reading it, it should witness to you. It should really witness to you. There's just something in that thing that's just not quite right. It could be twisted a little bit. Amen. However, the time is coming, soon coming, when the rod of the Lord will utterly swallow up the rods of authority of this present evil world, all of which receive their power from Satan, the god of this world. And you can see that in 2 Corinthians 4:4. God is coming with his rod of authority, and he's going to destroy the enemy's rod. It could be somebody sitting in here tonight, this morning. You could be working for the devil. And God could come down on you with his rod and destroy that thing that's in you that the devil has placed in you. In Revelation 2:27, the Lord spoke of the rod of iron that would be used to bring about the total destruction of this present evil order of things. This overthrow of Satan was shown in the 10 plagues of Egypt, which were accomplished by the stretching forth of the hand of Moses with the rod of God. There will be times in our lives when we will have severe trials and testings, and we're going through them right now, all right? Satan will pursue and try to destroy us, but our guardian angels will intervene. Now, God spoke to me in the night. He said, daughter, he said, my people need to use my angelic host. to assist them in their battles, or they're not going to win these fights that they're in. So if I was you, and like I was praying about something, that's all right. Now you show me my angel when I was first born again. I said, I'm sending him right now to fight this battle for me because I'm tired of fighting this thing. And yeah, that thing lifted just like that because my angel went and took care of it. And I've been praying every other way there was to pray and not ever using the angel. Are you listening here? Each one of you have a special angel assigned to you. Send your angel forth to do the work. Quit sitting there trying to figure out how you're going to conquer it. And send your angel out there. When the world and its distractions, cares, and problems seem to press in about us, and we become fearful and discouraged, let us bring to mind the words of Moses to the children of Israel in Psalm 46:1. Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. How many times has God said that to us? And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The Lord will never leave nor forsake us, and he will be a very present help in trouble. God has said to us, stand still, watch the salvation of the Lord working on your behalf. But we don't stand still. We plunder on, don't we? We stick our nose in where we shouldn't stick it. We're trying to fix the thing, and we can't fix it. Only God can. Our friend can't fix it. Amen. They've tried. It takes the Holy Spirit to do the work. Why are you relying on somebody else to do the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do? Come on. Moses lifted up the rod and stretched out his hand over the sea, and the waters were divided and the people were passed over. The rod of God's Spirit and power overruling in our lives will also bring about our deliverance from every trial. The rod of God's Spirit and power overruling in our lives will also bring about our deliverance from every trial. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Don't tell me you cannot stop your sin. Memorize 1 Corinthians 10:13. God makes a way of escape. Come on. Sometimes in order to bring us through a trial, perhaps one that we have brought on by our own bad judgment, the Lord has to use his rod of discipline and teaching. Come on. Sometimes in order to bring us through a trial, perhaps one that we have brought on by our own bad judgment is really common in the house of God. The Lord has to use his rod of discipline and teaching. Job 9:34 speaks of this, and Job asked that this rod be taken from him. We, however, should not resist this rod of discipline and teaching. It is for our eternal good and is being administered by the hands of a loving God who is deeply concerned with our welfare. You know, Job said, please take this rod away from me, but we aren't supposed to do that. We need God to discipline us and to teach us in all things. Are you listening? You know, if you've already attained so much, then why are you messed up? Why is it the devil can keep coming and torment and torment and torment? We have to ask ourselves those questions, right? That, I ask myself that all the time. How come, Father, this is happening in my life? How come that's happening in my life? And 9 times out of 10 or 10 out of 10 is because I'm not praying properly. Or I've given in to the enemy and just says, and didn't pay it no mind when I should have paid it a whole lot of mind because it was important, but it didn't seem that important. I'm hearing God say, you just slept it off. We have everything the enemy brings against us. We have to take control of it through the Holy Spirit. All right. There's no such thing as a little attack from the enemy. Everything he does is huge. Even though it looks little, it's huge. What's behind what we see is a big force that's going to knock us down. All right, the 9th verse of Numbers. Is that where am I at? Today we need to have the faith of Job, Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. The body of Christ doesn't do that. If God doesn't come to us right instantly, wow, God doesn't care about me. I hear that, so I'm not going to slap you in the nose. God does care about you. Just because he didn't take that thing out of your life instantly doesn't say he's not working on it. You know, sometimes he has to take things out slowly so you don't get a big head. And you know, you'll go right back to that sin again. So he has to let you suffer a little bit as he pulls it out of you. You know, and then finally one day it's gone, right? The 9th verse of Numbers 20 indicates that Moses took the rod of God, which was Aaron's rod, which was Moses' own original rod, all right, out of the Ark of the Covenant to smite the rock for water. And that was his downfall. It was later put back into the ark and was there when the children of Israel passed through the waters of the Jordan and into Canaan. Now, little did Moses know when he was shepherding the flocks of Jethro down in Midian that this rod would play such an important and honorable role in the great work of delivering the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage and bringing them safely to the land that flowed with milk and honey. Little did he know that his little shepherd's rod was going to be used for all these miracles. Now we can understand what Jesus meant when he said to his disciples in Mark 6:8, take no scrip, no bread, no money, only your staff, when he sent them out. Their staff was their miracle. Now he was going to use that staff to perform miracles. We can take nothing of this world into the kingdom. And this he was saying, don't take any of the worldly stuff. We can take nothing of this world into the kingdom, but proper use of the rod and staff of the Lord can and will get us there. The rod of God must go with us all the way into the kingdom. This is the key. The rod is a branch, an extension of the trunk. So the rod is an extension of God himself and extensions of Christ. It is an extension of Christ's authority. The rod of authority is only activated in your life as you extend it. It must be released. Remember what I told you that God told me when I first started, whatever you place your hands to do, I will do it. I will do it, whatever I place my hands to do. So that one night I said, all right, God, I'm going to use Aaron to prophesy to the people, anoint him to prophesy to the people. God anointed him in a powerful way, and he prophesied to everybody in the house of God. See, it was something I placed my hand to do, and God did it. I used my rod of authority because God told me that. I said, all right, God, this is what you spoke to me, so I want you to do this for me. And he did it. You see what I'm saying here? That's one of my rods of authority. God spoke it, therefore I can use that rod of authority and make it come to pass. All right. God said, have the people stand in the rock. All right. Then my rod of authority was obeying God's command, telling you people stand on the rock. You understand? That's your rod of authority. Are you understanding this? All right. As I was getting this together, I was thinking of all you people, and I thought Christopher Gore, his rod of authority is he knows the Bible really well, and he'd be a really good Bible teacher. See, knowing the Bible really well is his rod of authority. Are you understanding this? So whatever it is that you excel in, that you're familiar with and comfortable with, that's your rod of authority. Okay? All right, so I said, the rod of authority is only activated in your life. As you extend it, it must be released. It is of no value to you until you raise it, extend it, and release it. And when you release it, it takes something that is common, natural, and turns it into a supernatural element in fulfilling your assignment. All right? Now, if God has called you to do a particular works for him, he has already equipped you. If God called you, he's already equipped you. Now, you need to quit getting all befuddled. And you need to quit running around like a chicken with your head cut off, trying to figure out how you're going to do all this stuff. And you just need to sit in the presence of the Lord saying, okay, God, you called me to do this. Now, you're going to have to lead me in how to do this thing. When he called me up to church, I said, God, I don't have any idea how to run a church. He says, just like a business. You ran two businesses, you can run a church. He said, but my Holy Spirit will be there. My Holy Spirit will lead God and direct you in everything I want you to do. And that's how it's always worked. So, you know, if God has called you to do something, see, Brother Brett, his rod of authority is his books. And he's a great talker. He can talk his way out of a bag, however they say that. But charisma, that's where he has charisma. So his rod of authority is charisma and writing books. All right? He never uses charisma with me, though. He's found out he can't do that. But that's his rod of authority. You understand what I'm saying? See, Elaine, your rod of authority is blowing the shofar. That's one. You have many, but that's one. That's your rod of authority. So, Sister Nancy Willis, your rod of authority is intercessory prayer. That's one. You know, of course, we have the prophetic going, so that's a rod of authority too. But see, you have to use it in order for it to have the authority in it. It's just like, you know, when I tell you, okay, this is what God wants to do. If you come up the altar, this is what God's going to do to you. I spoke what God told me to spoke. Now, see, your rod of authority is your obedience to do what God just told you to do. Are you understanding this? You know, I look around. All you have so many talents here, and God wants to use them, and they're your rods of authority. All right, so Sister Grace's rod of authority is dancing and flagging. God told me she's going to do powerful things with dancing and flagging. She will be teaching many, many people how to flag and dance. That's her rod of authority. And she shouldn't try to go out here and teach. She shouldn't go out here and try to raise the dead. She should be concentrating on her rod of authority, which is teaching people how to flag and dance. Are you understanding this? It's too many people are trying to stick their nose in other people's anointings, and it isn't working. It is not working at all. And too many people are trying to tell other people how to do their life, and that's wrong. I'm not going to tell you how to do your life. If God speaks to me and tells me what to tell you, then I'll tell you what God says, and I won't add to and I won't take away. Because God knows exactly what your destiny is. He knows exactly what you're going to have to go through to get to your destiny. And he knows the little side roads he's going to put you on to teach you in different areas to get you where he wants you to be. So whatever it is that you know that God is calling you for to do, that's your rod of authority. Now, God wants to anoint your rod of authority because some of you aren't using it. Some of you have abused it, I'm hearing you say. Come on. And he wants that stop, but he wants a special anointing on each one of your heads tonight, today, so you can know what your rod of authority is and then go forth and use it. I'm hearing God say, I'm going to open many chambers for y'all to walk through. He didn't say doors, he said chambers. I don't know what the difference is. But he's opened up many chambers for you to walk through, and he wants you to start walking through these chambers that he's opening up. He wants you to quit sitting in the backside of the desert, because the backside of the desert is gone. And he's moved now, and he wants each one of us to move with him. See, I've come to the conclusion this week that God called me to teach ministers. That finally became real to me after 30-some years. And so then something welled up inside of me, and I thought, you have what it takes to teach other people and send them forth. But it took 30-some years. You guys don't have 30-some years. Because I'm one, you know, I've always wanted to be in the background. I didn't want to, you know, try to be bigger than anybody else. And I'm still not. And so, God couldn't use me to my fullest because I had this mindset. No, you can't get to do this because people think you're bragging or something. But that's not true. If this, one of my rods of authority is to teach people. All right? So the altar's open this morning.